Praise God, we are here today, praise God, to be in the house of the Lord, amen? Amen. And we want to talk about today, call to commitment, a call to commitment. Amen. We spent this month so far, it's kind of been a retooling kind of a thing that we've been doing and refocus. You know, we spent the first week, we were talking about vision. Last week, we spent some time talking about purpose. And so we did that and we challenged ourselves that we would trust God for vision. We would trust God for purpose as it relates to me as an individual, because that impacts my ability to be able to buy into purpose and to buy into vision as the people of God. If I don't understand my purpose and if I don't know who I am, then how can I buy into anything that God is doing? If I don't understand vision, then how can I buy into anything that God is doing? And so what we sought to do this month was to challenge ourselves as it relates to vision and as it relates to purpose. And today we want to talk about being called to a commitment, being called to a commitment. Interesting text that God has given us. But it's a great text that gives us insight into the call or our call and a commitment to the call as well. You guys know that when it comes to commitment, sometimes we are forced to be committed to something. You know what I mean? Sometimes we are committed to something because we have a particular motive or ulterior motive. Sometimes we find ourselves committed to something because of the financial rewards that go along with it. We don't get up in the morning and make sure that we clock in or at work on time for no reason, right? We do it mainly because we're going to get paid. That's right. Sometimes we find ourselves committed to a cause. How many people found themselves when President Obama was running for president, and you found yourselves down at the centers and volunteering and doing all of those things? Sometimes we find ourselves committed to a cause. But there are many things that call us today, isn't there? Sometimes money calls us. The desire to make money. Knowing that I'm going to get my paycheck, it calls me. Sometimes other people might call us, right? Sometimes when the right person calls you and uses the right words, that impacts you. Sometimes when the right person whispers the right things in your ear, it impacts you, doesn't it? Sometimes when our parents would call us and you would detect the tone in their voice, and we could tell what kind of calling it was. Amen. Sometimes when our kids were growing up and we would call Ryan and he wouldn't pay us any attention. And all of a sudden, Jerry would say, "Ryan Allen Easley." He knew that was the call. He knew not to mess with that call. Sometimes the hot light at Krispy Kreme be calling me, y'all. Sometimes it's calling, and sometimes the call is just so strong you can't resist it. I remember those times, and I don't do this anymore. I just want to tell you, I don't do this anymore. But those times when we were in Dallas and we'd be on, it would be Sunday afternoon and we eat dinner and get ready to watch the football game, and me and my boy, we would go get a whole bucket of Blue Bell ice cream. Because that Blue Bell be calling me, y'all. The call. Something about the call. Sometimes when something calls you, it's irresistible. Sometimes when something calls you, you cannot resist the call. And you see, our challenge today, our encouragement today, is just to discuss the call that God has in our lives. Is it irresistible? The fact that God has called us, the fact that God has called you, is it irresistible? Is it irresistible? as we look at our text today, we see God beginning to deal with a man by the name of Abram. And it's interesting that God deals with Abram at this time in history. Because when you read Genesis chapter 11, you see the whole story of the Tower of Babel. This Tower of Babel, and we begin to see how man began to multiply on the face of the earth. And humanity comes together and they come up with this great plan. And this great plan, it was prefaced by "let us."
Yes.
Humanity began to say, "Let us make bricks and let us build a tower that reaches into the sky. Let us come together and let us make a name for ourselves." Humanity had begun to come together, but it was undergirded by that whole principle, "let us." And so Abram and Sarah, they find themselves living during that time in the midst of a humanistic society, in the midst of a society where there was idol worship and there was all kind of worship going on. In fact, the Bible says it was in Ur of the Chaldeans. It was in modern day Iraq. And in the midst of all of this darkness, the Bible says that God called Abram. God called Abram. And I don't know what Abram was going through. I don't know what he was struggling with. I don't know what his family was going with and what they were struggling with. But God calls Abram. God calls Abram. Many of us today as well. Is that God has placed a calling. There's a calling on our lives. We talk about the call of God. We talk about God's call for our lives, and we talk about calling. And sometimes we forget that the most important thing about God's call is the nature, is based on the nature of Him who calls us. I love what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He says, "Faithful is he who calls you."
Yes.
Even Peter said in 1 Peter 1:15, he says, "But like the Holy One who called you." You see the nature of God? The one that calls you is faithful.
Yes.
The one that calls us is holy.
Yes.
The one that calls us is the one that gives us true knowledge. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, he says, "Seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who has called us." You see, Legacy, what I want us to understand as we think about calling and even God's call on Abraham's life is that God's calling is not a reflection on my nature. But it's a reflection on God's nature.
Yes.
It's a reflection on who God is.
Yes.
God's call in my life is not based on my personal desires.
Yes.
You see, I didn't wake up one morning and say, "You know what? I like going to church. And I think God is going to call me because I like going to church." No. God's calling on my life is not based on my desires.
Yes.
You see, as long as I think about my qualities, "Oh, I have this beautiful voice, and God is calling me because I can sing for him." No. No. You see, as long as I dwell on my qualities and my traits and think about what I am suited for, I will never hear God's call. I will never hear God's call. The point that I'm trying to make is that when God calls Abraham, Abraham had nothing to offer God. He had nothing to offer God. I love it. Paul, the Apostle Paul, he brings it further home in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 24 and 26. He says, "But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men and the weaknesses of God is stronger than men."
Yeah.
He says, "For consider your calling."
Well,
brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. You see, our calling is not based upon your strengths.
That's right.
That's good.
Your strengths.
That's right.
As we look at the life of Abraham, one of the things that I see in the life of Abraham is that he was called out of something. He was called out of something. And as we think about how Abraham was called out of something, I want you to also think about your life and our lives and how we were also called out of something. Jesus comes to Peter in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, and he says, I say unto you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. You see, Jesus lets Peter know that the very nature of who God is calling him to be is to be called out of.
Yes.
The word church in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18 is the word ekklesia. The word ek, it means to call, it means out, it means to exit out. Klesia means to call. Kaleo means to call. So the very nature, the meaning of the word church, it means the called out ones. Y'all ain't hear me today. Y'all ain't hear me today. You are, as by nature, by virtue of being a part of the church, you are the called out ones. You were called out of something. You were called out of something. We began to learn that Abram was called out of a life of idolatry. Mm-hmm. Abram was called out of a culture where they sacrificed their children. Abram was called out of a culture where they did all of these horrific things on the temple in the name of some god somewhere. And Abram was called out of all of those things. You were called out. The Bible says that you were called out of darkness.
Yes.
I love it because Paul reminds us. Paul doesn't let us forget who we were. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, Paul says, remember. Mm-hmm. He says, remember that at one time you were separate from Christ.
Yes.
He says you were excluded from the citizenship of Israel. You were foreigners to the covenant of promise. You were without hope and without God in the world. Wow. Paul reminds us who we were. He tells us that we were called out of darkness. Sometimes we might not believe that we walked in darkness. Sometimes we may believe that we were seeing with 100 watts. We may believe that we were seeing with those new kind of light bulbs that they use now.
Yeah.
You know what? I put one of those light bulbs in my basement over a year ago, and it's still running. It's still on. You see, sometimes we believe that we can see with those kind of lights that never go out, but we're still walking in darkness. Still walking in darkness because we were walking in spiritual darkness. We were walking in spiritual darkness. You see, we were called out of something. But not only was Abraham called out of something. You see, the problem with just being called out is that you have nowhere to go.
Well.
If you've been called out and have nowhere to go, then you're still lost.
Well.
And so not only was Abram called out, but he was also called to something as well. He was called to something as well. Look at what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 12. Look at what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. You see that? You see, God calls him out of Ur of the Chaldeans and he calls him to somewhere. Legacy. It's important that you understand that when God calls you out, he is calling you to something. I appreciate the writer of the book of Genesis pointing out that before Abram goes to the place that God calls him, he finds himself at a place called Haran. Look at chapter 11, Genesis chapter 11 and verse 12. It says, in the days of Terah, were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. You see that? And even in verse 11, it says that they came unto Haran and they dwelt there. They lived in Haran. They lived in Haran. It's interesting as well, because when I did a Strong's Concordance search on the word Haran, it basically means the place of the dead. The place of the dead. You see, God has placed a calling on Abram's life. And at one point in his journey, he only went as far as Haran. He only went to the place of the dead. He only went to the place where there was no future, where there was no profit, where there was no opportunity to grow. There was no opportunity to realize what God had for him. Yeah. Now, while he was in Haran, he could have been, you know, he could have been kicked back. He could have had a nice palace. He could have had, you know, really good pasture land to graze his flocks. He could have had the best tents and all the things that he needed in Haran, but it was the place of the dead because it was not where God wanted him to be. Amen. Y'all missing it. Y'all missing it. It was not where God wanted him to be.
That's it.
Sometimes God calls us out of something and we only go so far. He says in chapter 12, and now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. You see the stipulations on the call that God places upon Abraham? He tells him to leave his country. He says, leave your kinfolk and leave your father's house. Leave everything that you had known and go somewhere that I will show you.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
It's amazing how God places a call on our lives.
Yes.
When God places a call on our lives, there's no guarantee that we're going to continue to be comfortable. There's no guarantee that we'll be able to stay in our comfort zone. There's no guarantee that we'll be around the things that are familiar. In fact, when God calls us, when God places a call on our lives, it's usually going against the grain. It's usually going upstream. It's usually countercultural.
That's the rub.
Because there are times when we say, God, I want to trust you, for God, for you I live, for you I die. And then when we realize the implications of God's call in our lives,
well,
we tell God, Lord, I'll go to Haran for you.
Well.
That's far as I can go. But you're talking about leaving mama?
Well.
And you're talking about leaving my boys and all the folks I hang out with? Can't I just minister to them? But sometimes the call. You see, as a result of God's call in Abraham's life, he calls him out of something, but then he calls him to something.
Yes.
He calls him to something.
Yes.
I love it because there's application in our lives today as well. The Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, he says, walk worthy of the vocation wherein you are called.
Yes.
You see, when God calls us out of darkness and into his marvelous light, he calls us to walk worthy of the vocation that we have been called unto. Sometimes we understand clearly God's call in our lives. But sometimes the call is not matching with our walk. Sometimes the call is not consistent with our lifestyle. Sometimes the call is not consistent with our habits. Sometimes the call is not consistent with what God is calling us to do. And so we have the exhortation here that there must be a balance.
Yes.
Between God's call in my life and my walk and my lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Call to something.
Yes.
Abraham was called to go to another land. For me and you in this room today, it could just be to walk worthy of our calling out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, he says, it is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. God has called you out of something. Now he's calling you to something. He's calling you to walk worthy of your vocation. He's calling you to a holy life. Paul tells Timothy, the young man, 2 Timothy 1:9, he says God has saved you and called us with a holy calling. He says, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. God calls us out of, and then he calls us to something.
Yes.
He calls us to something. It's encouraging to know that when God calls us, he calls us to something. But not only does he call us to something, he calls us for something as well.
Amen.
He calls us for something. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. You hear me? You hear me? We are created in Christ Jesus for good works.
Yes. Yes.
The reason that God has called us out of darkness, the reason that God has called us to something, is so that for the purpose of creating good works for him. Not only that we should create good works, but also so that we should be to the praise of his glory.
Yes.
You ever thought about every part of my life, everything that I do, everywhere I go, everything that I say, my motives and everything, that it should be to the praise of his glory?
Yes.
I can remember some times in my life and some things that I've said and some things that I've done, some places that I've gone, even as a believer, and I know it was not for the praise of his glory.
Amen.
It was for my self-aggrandizement. It was for my selfish, to fulfill the selfish desires of my lust. That's what it was for.
Yeah, yeah. Amen.
But it was not for the praise of his glory. Do we seek to glorify God in everything that we do and say and go and think and all of our motives? Do we seek to glorify God? We have God's encouragement. We have God's encouragement as we are called for his purpose and for his glory. We have his encouragement. I like what he tells Abraham here. He says, and I will make thee a great nation. You see that? You see, a few verses before, we saw humanity coming together, trying to make for themselves a great nation. He says, I will make thee a great nation. He said, I will bless thee. I will make thy name great.
Yes.
At one point, humanity says, we want to make a name for ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But God tells Abraham, I will make a name for you.
Yes.
Because you have my stamp and my imprint. It's me that makes a name for you. You see, if we live for God's glory, if our purpose is to live for God's glory, then God will make us our name great. He will make us a great people. He says, I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Wow. 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 God tells us, he tells us through the Apostle Paul in Philippians 3:14. He says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call,
yes.
The upward call in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
The writer of Hebrews in chapter 3, verse 1, he says that we are called to a heavenly calling.
Yes.
Therefore, brothers, be partakers of a heavenly calling. Consider Jesus, the apostle, the high priest of our confession. And I love it. I love what Paul says to the church at Rome in Romans chapter 8, 29 through 30. He says, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn of many brethren. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And these whom he called, he also justified. And these whom he justified, he also glorified.
Yes.
See, guys, you were called out of darkness. You are called by a God who is faithful.
Yes.
by a God who is true, by a God who is just. You will cause the very nature of who you are, the church, the ecclesia, the called out ones, speaks volumes. But you were also called to something.
Yes.
For the purpose of giving God glory.
Yes.
Where are you today? Do you see God's call in your life as irresistible? Do you see that if are you at a place in your life where you, if you don't fulfill God's purpose and God's call in your life, that you don't know what you would do? Or is God's purpose and God's call in your life is something that, you know, you put on the back burner, you warm it up every now and then, you throw it in the microwave every now and then, get excited about it. There's some things that I know that I should do, and Jerry constantly reminds me. And I says, I know I got to do it. I say, I know I got to do it. I got to do it. She reminds me again. I say, I know I need to do that. She reminds me again. I say, yeah, you're right. Got to do that. You see, sometimes when it comes to our purpose, our vision, God's calling, that's our attitude. Yep. Got to check that off. Got to get around to doing that. You see, sometimes we see ourselves as the sole provider, the sole empowerer of ourselves when it comes to our calling.
That's true. That's true.
But you know, in our own strength, we bring nothing to the table. And any realizing of God's calling in our life and living out God's calling is through his strength,
yes,
through his power,
yes,
and through his strength.
Yes.
The place that we get stuck at, the place I get stuck at, is when I try to step in on my own strength and my own power.
Yes.
Honestly speaking, there are days when I don't feel like I'm successful enough to be used by God. There are days when I don't feel capable, you know, days when I don't feel smart enough, and, you know, days when I don't feel prepared. You know, I'm like, God, surely there's a better Christian out there who can do what you call me to do.
Well,
there are those days, you know.
Yes.
But it's amazing because I notice a pattern in Scripture. That God finds a man by the name of Gideon hiding in a hole somewhere,
mm-hmm,
and uses him for his glory.
Yes.
God finds a little young boy by the name of Joseph who has an ego problem, is in prison somewhere, and God uses him for his glory.
Yes.
God takes three Hebrew boys that Carlos read about earlier. He takes these boys from their homeland. Their names are changed. They're trying to give them a different God, and things look hopeless, and God uses them,
yes,
for his glory.
Yes.
You see, God shows up,
yes,
when we run out, when we're at our wit's end, when we're at the end of our rope, when we feel that we cannot do it, God shows up.
Yes.
Sometimes the world will see us and they will see failure. But God looks at each one of us in this room and he sees a future.
Yes,
yes. Thank you, Lord.
Are you willing?
Thank you, Lord.
Are you willing to walk in your purpose? Are you willing to walk in your vision and to walk in the calling that God has placed on your life?
Well, thank you, Lord.
Where are you today?
Mm.
Are you committed to the call? Mm. Just the call out of darkness into his marvelous light, to walk in him. Are you committed to the call?
Yes.